Happy New Year, right? Everybody glad to be into 2021? Yeah? I mean, I don't know that for many of us we've ever had a year where we were more excited to leave it. At least that's what the media would leave us to believe, right? It's like, if you were to think about 2020, what'd you say, Amy?
Everything's changing.
Oh, it changed 3 days ago, right? I mean, just miraculously. No. But, you know, as you think back over the last year, it's very easy for us to get stuck in this idea that nothing good happened last year. It just all went to hell because of this crazy pandemic and masks and lockdown. And there were a lot of bad things. People died. People lost jobs. I'm not ever minimizing that. But we have to be careful because it's not all bad, I don't think. I think we can choose to look back and see some of the positive things. In fact, I want to just start and I want some feedback from you this morning. But what is one thing that maybe you have appreciated during the pandemic, or something, maybe a change that you've made in your life or something you've done that wouldn't have happened unless there was a pandemic? Anybody had any changes or anything that you would go, well, this is different? For example, I'm assuming it's still happening, but a lot of families said, you know what? Family game night is happening a lot more than it ever did before. We've run out of things to watch on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and anything else, and so we're playing games together now. What about you? Anything that you've done that wouldn't have happened if the pandemic hadn't happened? Don't be shy. If you're online, chat in the window. We'll look at these comments later. Okay, so being around family has been a little bit, been good, working from home. That's a newlywed speaking. We need somebody that's been married maybe 20, 30 years. Any amens on that one? Any? Come on, there's got to be some good stuff. What is it? Okay. Okay, so it did. It forced us to slow down a little bit. It forced us to kind of stop moving so much. Our shopping habits probably had to change, although Amazon sales probably definitely went up. But it did force us to kind of reevaluate. I mean, think back, though. I mean, when March hit, and March, 15th was the first Sunday that we had to kind of cancel in-person services. I mean, that was a long time ago. And to be fair, we're not to the end of this yet. There was no magic turning of the page where January 1 came and it's like, woohoo, we're having a mask burning party. You know, nope, keep them on. We got a little bit more to go. In fact, if you look at it, we've probably got about 6 more months to go. I mean, before things, I mean, realistically, which sounds like a long time, it is. But you know, as we think about where we've been and specifically where we're going, COVID has been a big disruptor. It's disrupted the rhythms of our life. There's no question about it. Where we work, the amount of time we spend together as a family, it forced us to slow down or even to stop. And in some ways, this might have been bad. You know, for me, pre-COVID, I had a pretty decent rhythm of going and working out 5 days a week. And then COVID hit, and all the sweets hit, and it hadn't happened. And I will admit, that was bad. I was healthier. I went and had my little annual physical back in November and saw the cholesterol numbers as they were inching back up after not working out and not paying attention to what I was eating. Not good stuff. So in some ways, it has been bad. But in other ways, it's been very good. It's been good to be able to slow down. So not all the changes have been negative. For some of us, life may have gotten a little bit out of control, where we weren't really paying attention to what we were doing. We were signing up for everything or putting our kids in everything, and we were going 90 miles an hour, and we were living our lives with absolutely no margin, to the edge. And then COVID comes in, and let's just be honest right here, and we admit that when it first happened, we were all kind of going, it's like an addict coming down off drugs, right? We had the shakes. We were just like, what are we supposed to do? I can't go somewhere. I can't drive my car. I mean, you know, you filled up a tank of gas, what, once every month or two? And then kind of, maybe if you're like me, you've kind of settled into it a little bit. You've kind of gotten used to it. Kind of, you know, figured out when you need to be working hard and when you can take a little bit of time away. When you need to slow down and spend a little time with your family. When you need to lean into things that maybe were getting neglected before. You see, the thing that I think COVID has revealed to me is we all have rhythms. We know this. We all have rhythms in our lives. We all do things. But sometimes what happens is we begin to be so free, to be so active, to do so much that we pay so little attention to why we're doing what we're doing. We just get stuck into this rhythm of just putting out fires all the time. Everything becomes urgent. And then what happens is we forget the important. And I tell you that one of the greatest fears that I have is that in 6 months, when vaccines are out and things begin to return to normal, whatever that is, that we just act like this whole time didn't happen. Got to get back to normal. And we immediately jump back into those unhealthy rhythms. See, I know that the pandemic's not good. I would never pray this on anybody. But we know we serve a God that can make good out of anything. And he's shown to me, and I hope he's shown to all of us, that maybe it's time for us to really begin to evaluate what rhythms do we have in our lives? What rhythms do we need in our lives? And how do we restore healthy rhythms? How do we restore healthy rhythms in our life to do what God needs us, wants us, desires us to do? Now, why is this important? Why do we care? Shouldn't we just live our lives however we want and just die and say, yep, that was good, had a good run? I don't think so. I mean, I'm not wired that way. I want my life to mean something. I want there to be purpose and meaning behind me waking up in the morning. I feel like if there wasn't meaning behind it, I wouldn't do it. I need to be driven by why am I here? And God answers that question for us because he looks at us and he says the greatest thing that he desires for us is transformation. And Jesus, what he did on the cross with his life and death and resurrection, he brings to us meaning and purpose. He gives me that reason that I've been looking for. He defines for me why my life is here, why I'm even around at all. You know, and I read passages like Mark chapter 8, where Jesus said this. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. To be fair, not a great marketing strategy, because it's a very challenging thing to do, die to yourself. But then he keeps going and he says, forever who wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And then here's the passage that always resonates with me, because he says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? One of the expressions, old expressions that I always talk about, and Ryan gets sick of hearing it, I say, is, you know what? I don't want to get to the end of my life climbing whatever ladder I'm climbing of success, of work, of whatever things are around me, only to get to the top and find out that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. And that's essentially what Jesus is saying. He says, what is your life worth? What is the value of your existence? And are you even paying attention to what you're giving yourselves to? You see, Paul in Romans chapter 12 says that his desire for us is to not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed. To be transformed. It's not that we have to pay attention to, are you living right? Or are you saying right? Are you speaking right? Are you doing the right things? Are you believing the right things? See, somewhere along the way, we took on this idea that as long as I believe the right things and I live the right way and I do this and do that and don't say cuss words and I don't drink too much and I don't dance and all this stuff or whatever, then I'll be okay. That's the order of my life. That defines it. And when you look at the Bible, though, it's clear that it's much bigger than that, because God doesn't care if we have right theology all the time. God doesn't care if your behavior is perfect 100% of the time. God, Jesus didn't die on the cross for you not to cuss. Okay. Jesus died on the cross so that something happens internally to us and we are transformed from the inside out. But here's the catch. We live in a world that tells us, don't pay attention to this. Just do what feels right. Be your best self. And there's a disconnect there between transformation and theology and right living and all this other stuff. Somewhere along the way, we've got to determine, how am I going to live? I mean, have you ever thought about that? You ask yourself that question. How am I going to live? And an even greater question might be, who do I want to be? Who do I want to be? Have you thought about that question? Think about it for a moment right now. If you had to give the 30-second elevator pitch to who I want to be, what would you say? You don't have to say it out loud. Don't type it in the chat window. Unless you really want to and be that vulnerable, go right ahead. Who do you want to be? You see, that's a defining question. And I think some of us live in the atmosphere of hope and wishes where we say, well, I want to be X, but we don't follow that question up to say, well, then how do I need to live or what do I need to do in order to get there? Because nothing happens on its own. We're not going to accidentally fall into spiritual transformation. It just doesn't happen that way. Just like you didn't fall into following Jesus. You heard Jesus, the call of Jesus, the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and you said, man, this is life-changing. I'm giving my life over to him. And every morning you wake up and you say, today I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to put that foot right in front of the other, and I'm going to continue to follow. And that's the same thing for our transformation. And really what we're talking about here is the condition of our souls. And what I believe is that for some of us, this pandemic and COVID may have exposed a little bit of shallowness in our souls. Because I think we did get trapped in this idea of information is where it is key, so get more information or believe the right things. Or we got wrapped up into activity and do-goodism, and we thought that was the answer. But it's more than social justice, it's more than information, or maybe even we seek out an experience, something miraculous. I want to feel good. That music was really good this morning. I lifted my hands and woo, I felt good. But even then, what we're talking about is something more than experience. As I said, it's the condition of our souls, and have we paid attention to that? You know, about 6 months ago, Pastor Amy interviewed a friend of hers where we talked about this. How is it with your soul today? What are we doing to nurture our souls? And are we paying attention? Is there a depth to it? Or is there a shallowness that we need to be paying attention to? You know, we won't be transformed by chance. In fact, you can even go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at what was written here. It says, be careful. They're about to go take the land. They're going in. God's setting them up. And they're being reminded, only be careful. Watch yourselves. That's an interesting word, yourselves, because in other translations it's translated soul. Watch your soul, the seat of your thought and emotion, the center of your existence. Watch who you are closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. We must slow down. And I know in a pandemic it's kind of goofy to say that, right? Because it's like, I can't slow down anymore. I'll come to a stop or go into reverse, right? I mean, that's how we feel. But again, what I'm speaking to you about today is not right now in this moment. I want you to be thinking 6 months from now when you can take that silly mask off, when you can go back to the mall and you can go hang out with people again and you can open up your lives and you can travel and take vacations, and none of those things are bad. And I hope you're able to do all those things, but I want to just encourage you, don't fill up your life with everything else to the extreme that we forget the most important things. You see, N.T. Wright says this. He says, it's only when we slow down our lives that we can catch up with God. When we're running 90 miles an hour, we've run right past God. In fact, there's a Japanese theologian who wrote a book called 3-Mile-an-Hour God. It's a great analogy, right? If we can walk as humans at about 3 miles an hour, 3-mile-an-hour God, that's what we have to do in order to connect with God. You see, I'm convinced that we often fail to experience that transformation that we desire because we haven't planned and we haven't made space for God. And unless we create this space, we're never gonna experience it. You know, it's as I thought this week, I thought, you know, think about your favorite celebrity, your favorite athlete, maybe your favorite politician. Who am I kidding? Nobody has a favorite politician. If they were to call you up or their office was to call and they were to say, hey, such and such wants to come have dinner at your house, what would you do? Well, after you were convinced it wasn't Pastor Ryan playing a joke on you, you would clear the schedule, wouldn't you? You'd clean that. You'd take all day off so you could clean the house and work on the food and get everything ready for this one appointment. Have we become so used to the fact that we have the God, the creator of all things, the creator of us, who we were made in his image? Have we become so accustomed to this that we just don't even really think about it? We give God the time in the shower and the drive in the car. Not that these are bad things, but really carving out space to say, God, I want to sit with you today. Because as we sang earlier and we talked about, the God of the universe, the one who created you, the one who knows you, desires to make time for you and will make time for you. So we need to discover healthy rhythms. How do we do that? Well, as I was studying this week, I grew up very Baptist, I have to say. We kind of avoided Catholic and Lutheran things. Those things were just way off in the extreme for us. I've kind of allowed my pendulum to come back. But as I was studying this week, I discovered what monks have called the rule of life. Are you guys familiar with that? It's rule of life. We don't like the word rule. It sounds very restrictive, doesn't it? We don't like that, no. But it is a rule of life. It's not a law of life, and I think that's very different. Laws are very structured, very rigid. They approach things from the negative. Do not speed. Rules are more guiding principles, much more flexible, that allow us to say, this is what I need to do in order to become this. And so really what I would like to encourage us is to figure out, how do we come up with a rule of life that helps us find that transformation? What's interesting is if you look at the word rule, in Latin it's regula, which has some ties in Greek to the word trellis. You guys familiar with a trellis? I got a picture for one on the screen. Nope, not that kind. That's in your backyard just to look pretty. Go to the next one. There's a trellis, not necessarily like what you think. But you know the purpose of this trellis? It has one function: to support the vine. A vine, by nature, is not a tree. It does not have the strength or the what it needs to stand up. It's meant, if it was left on its own, it's just going to grow on the ground. What happens when it grows on the ground? Does it reach its full potential? Does it reach the transformation that it's needing to really do what it's meant to do? And the answer is no. When it's on the ground, it's susceptible to animals and disease. The fruit will not be as bountiful. But if you take a trellis, if you take a regula, a rule, and you put that vine up that, look at what's possible. Can you see in that picture the beautiful clusters of grapes that are growing there? That's what we're talking about. Putting a structure in our lives that allows the fruit of the Holy Spirit to blossom in our lives. And so that's what we want to do. How do we do that? How do we do this? How do we create a structure? Well, it's the 3rd of January, and so anybody New Year's resolution makers? Good for you, because they never last. And that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a pie-in-the-sky resolution, but we are talking about, are there simple things that I can do every day, once a week, once a month, once a year? You decide. That will help me grow spiritually, that will create a healthy rhythm in my life. But I will tell you, as I've said before, it doesn't happen automatically. In fact, it has to begin with a real and genuine desire for transformation to take place. Think about for a moment, what is it that you really desire? I don't like these existential questions, honestly. I don't like to think that deeply sometimes. Let's just talk about the latest movie on Netflix or something else. That's so much easier. Because when I begin to ask myself, what do I desire, then I'm exposed a little bit. And then that second question, what am I willing to rearrange my life around or give my time to? That's another challenging question. You see, transformation and what we're talking about is not ever going to begin until we have our desire in the right place. And there's so many things competing for that attention, those urgent things that come after us. And in COVID, if you're with kids at home and you're working from home and you got a million things, this sounds crazy, doesn't it? You got more than you can possibly do right now. What are you telling me to do? What I'm saying is we just need to begin with that desire. There's so much to worry about, and Jesus knows this. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6:33, he reminds us, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things that you're worried about, they'll get taken care of too. He's not saying they're not important. He's just saying, but we need to focus that desire. What are we focused on? Are we willing to give ourselves to it? Having this desire is critical. And as much as it pains me to say this, I can't shame you into this. I can't guilt you. I would have been a great pastor 50 years ago where you just stand up and guilt and shame people into things. Man, those guys had it easy. But no, we don't get to do that anymore. It doesn't work anyway. I can't shame you. I can't make you feel guilty, make you feel like this is an obligation as much as I might want to. You have to want it. And I think we have to start with that question, do you want it? Do you want that spiritual transformation to take place? And if you do, we move to the second step. It starts with desire and then it moves to intention. Are we intentional? Proverbs 14:8 says this, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Again, we sometimes can fall into a trap of living so superficially that we don't ever begin to dig into and go below the surface to see what's really there. But we have to give thought to how we want to be. I ran across an article this week that was talking about the difference between what we're dealing with today and resolutions. And the author said this, it said, resolutions are often about goals and productivity, but the habits or the spiritual rhythms that we're talking about are built around, Resolutions are often about goals and productivity, but habits built around goals don't usually last. Once a goal has been reached, the habits cease. But resolutions that are about rhythms or practices instead of goals and productivity can be ways of participating with the Holy Spirit informing us in the image of Christ. What we're talking about is not saying, I'm going to have a daily quiet time. What we're talking about is saying, how can you this week create space in your life for you to have a relationship with God? Again, it's got to be an intentional thing. It's not going to happen on its own. I know for me, when I make this is the death of anything in my life, I'll do it later. I've got this thing I want to read. I'll read it tonight. Never happens. I've got a book in my bag that I've taken home for a year, gone back and forth to the office to home, thinking I'll read that tonight. Haven't cracked it once at home. We have to be intentional, and we have to make the space to make it happen. And then the next thing is just simply this. What's your spiritual rhythm anyway? Growing up, there was this very interesting thing. Maybe it's just growing up in the 80s and 90s and hearing youth conferences and youth speakers. But here's what I heard all the time. You must have a quiet time. Anybody hear that? QT? Get that Devo on? That is critical. Can I just tell you that I struggled with that and felt guilt and shame over that more than anything else in my life? If you know me at all, you know I'm a little ADD. I'm up here fidgeting right now as I speak. I put my hands in my pockets a million times. That's who I am. So to have a quiet time is a very big struggle for me, especially the way they defined it. And it was horrible. And I just felt like a failure spiritually because I couldn't match up with what somebody else's expectation of what relationship with God looked like. And so if this is going to happen, you need to discover your spiritual rhythm, what works for you, your rule of life. I can't stand up here and say we're all doing this because that doesn't work for everybody. What works for me may not work for you. And so you have to realize your rhythm will be different than other people. And then you have to realize too that your rhythm is going to change based on your phase of life. I have a toddler in my home. We have a new puppy in our home. Let me tell you, that changes the rhythm of my life a little bit. If you're an empty nester, I envy you. I'm just kidding, children. I do love you. But you have a different rhythm. We all have to figure out what that is. And so what we need to do is we need to figure out what's going to help me get to where I want to be. And I'm going to throw some things on the screen. And so as you think about your spiritual rhythms, we'll make these available this week so you don't have to write all these down. But as you think about the rhythms you want to put in your life, maybe you'll say there's something with my relationship with God that I want to do. So here's some things. You can use scripture. You can read it. You can do Lectio Divina. You can study it. You can do all those things. You can have silence and solitude. I know some of you maybe with young children and working from home, you go, that's a dream. But hey, it's possible. Bible study, prayer. Maybe there's something in the prayer realm that you want to do this year to help grow spiritually. Maybe it's not just your relationship with God. Maybe there's something in your personal life that you feel like you need to address. Maybe it's the care for your physical body. That's important. That can be one of the rules of life. Maybe it's, you know, for Brent, I'm going to work out 3 times a week, starting hopefully tomorrow. Sabbath. Do you have a single 24-hour period in your life every 7 days where you just stop working? You should. It's important. It's life-giving. What about, oh, this one, play and recreation. Quit being so serious all the time. Get out on the floor with your kids and play. Get out there, run around, go hiking, go do whatever. Play and recreation is critical. Christians are the worst. We sit here and we think things like, you know, well, we have to be pious and holy all the time. Jesus danced. Jesus hung out at parties all the time. Jesus knew how to party. So should you. Some of you don't take that too far, though. Some of you, too much. Emotional health. Anybody struggling a little with anxiety, depression through the COVID season? You're not alone. Go talk to somebody. Get some help with that. Simplicity. Oh, that's a tough one. Remember in the early days of COVID, we were cleaning out our houses? Maybe time to do that again. Also with simplicity, maybe you've got commitments financially to all over the place, and maybe you need to bring those in and be a little simpler with your finances. Go to the next one. Your relationships. Your relationships. Maybe you say, okay, I need to work on my family, so my family is going to have a game night every other week. Once a month, we're going to have family game night. We're going to do family dinner. We're going to do whatever. I'm going to have date night with my spouse. That'd be a rule of life. That's a healthy rhythm. You can say, what am I going to do with my community? Hospitality, get out of the house, meet the neighbors, even with a mask on. Or service and missions. Maybe it's jumping back into the community and helping others by doing whatever you can there. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do. You can even talk about your work, a rule or a rhythm for work that you want to bring into play. But here's what I want you to know is that what we're talking about is it takes time. It takes trial and error. Do you know that? Give yourself a break. You can say, okay, I'm going to have silence and solitude with God. I'm going to take the 8-week challenge that we're doing here, and it's twice a day for 8 weeks, for 5 days a week. And you get there, and you start that, and you think by day 5, and you go, okay, find something else. There's a whole list of things we can do to help create space and commune with God. It's not about all doing the same thing. It's figuring out what works for you. And then the last thing is just simply this. It's better with others. Invite somebody else in to talk to hold you accountable, to encourage you, to say, hey, this is what God is doing for me. And for somebody to just call in and say, hey, how's it going? You know, what we'll find is if we're real, and again, I'm not talking about making a resolution, but I would encourage you, can you find 1 or 2 rhythms that you will institute in the next week that will help you create space for God? So that 6 months down the road, when hopefully we've all been vaccinated and this mess is gone, we've got that rhythm established. Because like I said, it's not about you be better, you do better. It's all about creating space because the God who made you wants to get to know you better and wants you to get to know him. And that's never going to happen unless we create this space. As I said, this is not going to happen on autopilot. It's difficult. It's challenging. But there comes a point where we have to stop talking about changing and actually do something to change. There comes a point when we have to stop saying that, oh, I need to pray more, and we start praying more. It's the point where we have to say, I'm going to get to know God better, when we actually stop and do something to make that happen. You see, I do believe that for us in 2021, this is going to be a line in the sand moment. What are we going to do? Are we going to just fall back into the old rhythms, or are we going to actually try to live differently? So I want you to think, and we're going to post some stuff out this week. What are you going to do? What is going to be a part of your daily rhythm this week to change so that you can see that transformation take place? Not everything is daily. Some things are weekly. Some things will be monthly. Some things may be yearly. You know, maybe one of the yearly things is you sit down the first week of a new year and you evaluate the last year. It's okay. And remember, it's not doing something to get something. This is just about creating space to be with God, to become more like Him, and to free ourselves up from those things that are preventing us from living like Jesus. That's what it is. So what rhythms will you put in your life?